This is Religion Today with Martin Tanner, a weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. This past week, I received an email from a listener who had read some anti-Mormon literature that talked about the Book of Abraham. And he was unable to find a good response, and so he inquired, sent me an email. I thought that in addition to responding directly to his email, that I would do another program on the Book of Abraham, because this seems to come up fairly frequently, and it is an important subject. So let's start out with the criticism that is generally leveled against Joseph Smith and the Book of Abraham, and then a short response of the true facts, and then maybe we'll go into a bit more detail about everything so that you can have some more background than is generally understood about the Book of Abraham. Critics will say in 1835 the church acquired some Egyptian papyrus, and Joseph Smith claimed to translate the Book of Abraham from it. The papyrus was lost, and so we couldn't check up to find out if Joseph Smith was a real prophet by comparing what he said the papyrus had on it with what modern-day Egyptologists would tell us the papyrus says. But then there was this stroke of luck, because in the late 60s, the papyrus was found, and voila, the Egyptologists that are around today translated it, and it doesn't say what Joseph Smith said it said. So, ha, we know that he isn't a genuine prophet and the Book of Abraham isn't real. That's what critics will say. The answer to that is that they leave out a whole bunch of facts and their conclusion is wrong. Joseph Smith and the church did in 1835 acquire papyrus scrolls. There were five of them. They varied in length from approximately 20 feet to about 28 feet, according to those who personally saw them. That means we have approximately 125 feet of ancient Egyptian papyrus that Joseph Smith and the church acquired. Joseph Smith, from one of the rolls, translated the Book of Abraham and wrote it down. Of the portion that he translated into what we now have as the Book of Abraham, a lot of the translation has even been lost. How do we know that? There are several early members of the church who sat down and read Joseph Smith's translation, and it took them 2 hours, and they didn't complete reading what he had translated. If you sit down and read the Book of Abraham now, it will take you 10 or 15 minutes. We don't have everything that was originally translated. And you can tell that because it just breaks off in mid-story at the end. The other point to make here is that it's true that after Joseph Smith was killed, that the papyrus scrolls were lost. And we know what happened to them. They were, through a long series of events, in the Chicago fire and burned when they were in a museum, the Wood Museum, that was in Chicago, that was destroyed when the Great Chicago Fire went through. So how then are there claims that the papyrus has been rediscovered? Well, there were 11 scraps of papyrus that have been recovered. They were facsimile 1, not facsimile 2, and some other pictures or portions of papyrus that had been cut up and put in little frames, either by Joseph Smith or his family, perhaps by his mother, when people came through after Joseph Smith had been killed. At any rate, they, through a long series of events, wound up at the New York Metropolitan Museum. And these 11 scraps of papyrus, if you assemble them on a table, I have some life-size photographs of these. They're about 3 feet long. 3 feet compared with the original 125 feet means that we have recovered maybe 2% of the original papyrus, somewhere around there, 2 to 3%. 3% would be generous. And critics sort of leave those ratios out and say, we've rediscovered what Joseph Smith translated from. That is simply not the case. Well, how do we know that? Because at least one of the portions that were recovered is facsimile one, and that's part of what is in the Book of Abraham. Here is the answer. When ancient Egyptians buried someone, they had traditions just like we do. Sometimes Latter-day Saints will bury a family member in their favorite suit or dress, sometimes in temple clothing. Sometimes they will have their favorite scriptures in their hands when they are buried. Sometimes not. We have our traditions. The ancient Egyptians had theirs. One of their traditions was that you had a scroll that went with you that had the important writings that you needed to navigate yourself in the next life. It was kind of a book of instructions. And if you were not wealthy, you had a small little scroll, and it had only that simple book on it. It's called the Book of Breathings. There are several different names for it. And that's the picture that was found at the beginning of the Book of Abraham. It's facsimile one, and that would be part of the traditional funerary papyrus scrolls that would be buried with someone. If you were more wealthy, you might have one or two or even several different documents that were appended to this original book of breathings or instructions for the next life appended to it. A little bit like, instead of just having the Bible, maybe you'd have your quadruple combination buried with you. Maybe instead of just a letter from friends or something, you might have other things buried with you. Anyway, that's the general comparison that's made. For this person who was buried, we know from the length of the scrolls that far more than just the Book of Breathings was buried with this particular person. And so often what would happen is that these additional scrolls would have more customized or more specific information on them. And so what we know is that the beginning of the scroll would have been the Book of Breathings, and that's a small portion of what was recovered. We also know that the latter part of the scroll had something else on it because of the length of it. And because only a few feet have been recovered, we know that the portion that was not the Book of Breathings, which would have been the Book of Abraham, has not been recovered. And the Book of Abraham was the part that was of interest to Joseph Smith, and that is the part that he translated. So what was recovered is not what Joseph Smith translated, and that's the part that is left out by the critics. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the amazing Book of Abraham, about some of the information that is in it that Joseph Smith could not possibly have known himself, about some of the content and about what was found and what we can learn from it. Stay tuned. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today on KSL.
Religion Today with Martin Tanner on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. If you're just joining us, today we're talking about the Book of Abraham. This last week I received a question from a listener who had run into some anti-Mormon literature that claimed the Book of Abraham was bogus and Joseph Smith couldn't have been a real prophet because the scrolls from which he translated the Book of Abraham have been found. And modern Egyptologists who can read it now tell us it's not what Joseph Smith said. That is not true. We have only recovered a few feet of the original scrolls, and that is the Book of Breathings. We know that attached to Book of Breathings that were buried with ancient Egyptians were other books, if you could afford them. And the other book that was apparently attached to the Book of Breathings of this particular Egyptian individual was the Book of Abraham. There are some critics who say, oh, Abraham would never have been mentioned in an ancient Egyptian papyrus that was buried with someone. During Joseph Smith's era, that would have been a logical conclusion to make. But no longer. We know that now there are dozens of references to Abraham known in ancient Egyptian texts. I could go through a synopsis of all those, but for the sake of brevity today, I won't. But not only is Abraham mentioned in ancient Egyptian texts that were buried with people in many, many other cases than the one that was acquired by the church and translated into the Book of Abraham, but there are references to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob on some of these ancient Egyptian papyrus texts. And there are also references to Elohim, which is, of course, the Jewish God who was mentioned in the earliest biblical texts. And so there is a tie-in here, and the critics who claim Abraham would never have been mentioned are just plain wrong. Joseph Smith also claimed that facsimile one was Abraham being sacrificed on an altar. Looks like a lion, kind of a lion couch scene there. We also have discovered lion couch scenes in the Leyden Papyrus that discuss Abraham's name specifically. And so what Joseph Smith has told us is borne out by other ancient Egyptian papyri that have been found. So how did the papyri that was acquired by the church, how did all that happen, and how was it translated into the Book of Abraham by Joseph Smith? Well, there was a guy by the name of Antonio Lobolo. And between 1818 and 1822, he had been in the Egyptian city of Thebes, and he had acquired a number of mummies and various other artifacts. And through a series of events, they were ultimately acquired by a guy named Michael Chandler, who was Lobolo's nephew. And he acquired those in 1833. Over the next few years, Chandler toured the United States and displayed them. In 1835, the mummies rolled into Kirtland, Ohio, where the Latter-day Saints were at the time. And even though the Rosetta Stone, which allowed for the first time a translation to be made from Egyptian to English and other languages, had already been found. It had been discovered in 1799. The ability to really read Egyptian wasn't well developed until the 1850s. And so Chandler and even other scholars who had looked at these scrolls would not have been able to translate them. And so when Chandler heard about Joseph Smith, he inquired and said, gosh, will you take a look at these and tell me what they say, if you can. I've heard about your translating other ancient texts. And so after examining the scrolls, Joseph Smith, another member of the church by the name of Joseph Coe, and another church member, Simeon Andrews, purchased the four mummies and at least five papyrus scrolls and a hypocephalus, which is the little round facsimile too, for $2,400, which was a princely sum at the time. During 1835, Joseph Smith translated a majority of the Book of Abraham. He did that in July and for a few days in November. And there it sat. He did a little bit more work on it in 1842. And then, of course, a few years later, he was killed. The church canonized in 1880 in the Pearl of Great Price the portion of Joseph Smith's translation that remains. Most of his translation was lost. We know that because it took hours to read through what he had translated, and now it would not take more than about 10 minutes or so. We also know from other descriptions where it was said by early members of the church that when completely translated, the Book of Abraham would probably be about as long as the Bible. There was a tremendous amount of material there. That was, of course, a guess, a rough estimate, but still, it was much, much more than we currently have. So, from there, what happened? Well, after Joseph Smith's death, all of these Egyptian artifacts, the mummies, the five papyrus scrolls, which totaled about 125 feet of papyrus, were possessed by Lucy Mack Smith, Joseph Smith's mother. After her death in 1856, Joseph's widow Emma had them, and she and Joseph Smith III sold the mummies and the papyrus to a guy named Abel Combs, and then they were sold again to a Mr. Edward Wyman in St. Louis, and then ultimately, they were sold to the Chicago Museum and then to Joseph Wood in 1864. The renamed Woods Museum was destroyed in the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. And so the papyrus scrolls and the mummies that were originally part of what was acquired by Joseph Smith and the church were destroyed in the Chicago Fire. Now, at least some of the small fragments at the beginning of the one of the scrolls were cut into square fragments and framed, and those ultimately made their way to the New York Metropolitan Museum of Art. In 1966, there was a University of Utah professor who was not LDS, but who knew about the story of the Book of Abraham, and he visited the New York Metropolitan Museum and saw these 11 papyri fragments and noticed what they were. Word got back to the church acquired them, and very quickly thereafter, indicating that, unlike many claim that they were somehow hidden by the church published them in their magazine at the time that would have been like the Ensign today. It was the Improvement Era. They are on the front cover, and the church did everything they could to make them available to the public. So they were publicly known by the church within months after being reacquired. I hope this shed some light on the Book of Abraham for you. Hope you've enjoyed this program. Join me again next week. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.